You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
Early Thursday morning sees the third Ashes test between England and Australia take place, and we're heading to Perth with Australia holding a 2-0 lead in the series. The outright betting for this third test match sees Australia as the 8-15 favourites, 4-1 about the draw, and England are 7-2 in a test that they must win to keep their hopes of winning the series alive. James Butler joining me to preview the third test, and England have a pretty rotten record in Perth. They won't relish a trip there to potentially save their chances of winning the series outright.
Yeah, it's the last test to be played at the Wacker, and I fear for them, to be honest. It's 2-0 down in the series. I'd totally dismiss the 5-0 whitewash at the start of this. I'm not now.
Right.
England are rocking. Trouble on the pitch, trouble off the pitch, and Australia have to be favourites to win this one. There's going to be pace and bounce in that Perth track. You've got Mitchell Starc, you've got Pat Cummins, you've got Josh Hazlewood. They're going to fancy their chances of knocking over the England batsmen and making it 3-0.
5-0, incidentally, is 7-4 if you fancy Australia to win all five tests. You fancy them to win here, James. It's 8-15 in the outright betting. Plenty of supporting markets, of course, on this one ahead of the test. What do you like the look of elsewhere?
I think if England were going to win the series or take the urn home, they had to do something at Adelaide. And by being asleep, basically, for the first 2 days, they pretty much handed the urn across to the Australians. You look at the match specials at the top of this one, and the one batsman that hasn't yet fired properly for Australia is David Warner, and he will like Perth. The ball will come through nice and quickly. It'll bounce a bit, but you can trust the bounce, and he's that kind of batsman. He will fancy his chances there. England need to get him out quickly. 5-1 for David Warner to be the top Australian batsman and Australia to win the test match is a decent bet, I think. I like the look of him. We've had Stephen Smith firing in the first test match. Sean Marsh got the runs in the second test match. It's David Warner's turn.
Yeah. We saw flashes of what England can do in that second test, James, but the worry is at the moment they can't seem to string it together for four consecutive innings. But there is a chance that they could do something perhaps in a couple of the innings.
There's two things to that, I think. There's the fact that the second test was played under lights, and England bowled really well when the ball was moving around under lights. They're not going to get that in Perth. It's going to be straight up and down, and Anderson particularly, Wokes as well, they like the ball moving around in the air. When that was happening in Adelaide, Anderson was awesome, but he's not going to be that bowler in Perth. So that's the thing with the ball. With the bat, you've got Stoneman, who's looked pretty decent at the top of the order. I've liked him, but he needs to get a big score. He's getting 50s but not going on. Root's doing exactly the same thing. Vince, I'd drop him. He would have been in my squad to start with. He's got a pretty 80-odd in the first test match, but has done nothing since flashing outside off stump. David Milan looks decent in the middle order, but again, hasn't gone on to get the big score. And that's the interesting market for me. England's batting is very interesting because you could pretty much choose any of those and have a chance. Gary Barnes may come in to replace James Vince at number 3. But Joe Root, rightly favourite at 5-2. He's got the most runs for England so far. He's getting criticised for that lack of converting 50s into 100s. He'll want to put that right at Perth. As I say, it's a fast track, but it's a track that if you bat well on it, you can get runs. There's been some big scores piled up there. Joe Root's England's best batsman. Alistair Cook's second in the market at 4-1, but he's in woeful form. So Root for me at 5-2 would take my money in that one. But like I say, you could pick any of the others and have a bit of a sniff because there's no outstanding England batsman on this tour.
Yeah, 5-2 for Joe Root in that betting. He's also got a point to prove as well, James, because there was plenty of criticism that came his way regarding the decision after winning the toss in the last test, which is not exactly something he can answer with his batting, but it'll certainly go a long way to make people forget that if he puts in a big
score. He's under a little bit of pressure. Yeah. It's the first time in his career, really, that he's being criticised because it's been pretty much a seamless rise to being an international star. And as captain, obviously, he's leading the line. I saw him after that second test match and he looked down. He looked 10 years older. And for Joe Root, that's saying something because he's always looked 12 years old. He's under a bit of pressure in this series, and you're quite right. The best way for him to answer that is for England to play well and for him to score runs. It's easier said than done, though. I would have actually done exactly the same as he did. You look at the two internationals that have been played at Adelaide before. Batting second was probably the right thing to do. What happened, though, was the bowlers just didn't perform for him. And, you can only do so much as captain. Yes. You throw the ball to Jimmy Anderson and Stuart Broad and they bowl dross for the first 40 minutes, waste the new ball. It's advantage Australia. And that's what happened to Joe Root in that first test match. But you're right, he does need to bounce back, and I hope that I see him smiling at the end of this third test match. I fear that I won't do.
Yes, yeah, indeed. Better this test then, James, if I had to tie you to one.
Well, I'll just run through the batting bowling markets. I'm going to go for David Warner at 3-1 for Australia, yep, to be the top batsman. Stephen Smith obviously has credentials. Khawaja hasn't yet performed, and he's always under threat to spin. Sean Marsh, though, gives you a lot of value at 13-2 because he batted really well in that second test match. For England, I'm going to take Joe Root. But I would maybe have a bit of a nibble on Mark Stoneman as well at 9-2 because I think he's looked really good in this one. For Australia with the ball, Mitchell Starc at 2-1 has to be the play. Pace and bounce is going to suit him at the Wacker. And he's a very, very good bowler. But you've got Hazelwood and Cummings there backing him up. Hazelwood's actually surprised me. He's bowled the fastest of all the Australians on this tour. But Starc is their best bowler. And at 2-1, it's a decent price on somebody that should take a lot of wickets there. For England, the bowling, well, that is a toss of a coin because it's going to be straight up and down. Anderson, Broad, Wokes and Overton, all a bit of much of a muchness for me. It's whoever puts it in the right place the most. And that could be anybody. Overton at 4-1 probably gives you as much value or as much chance as Anderson, who's the favourite at 5-2. So why not pick Overton? Because he had a good first test match, yep, at Adelaide. Didn't do himself any harm at all. He'll have a bit of confidence despite England losing. So we'll pick Overton at 4-1 just because he's the best price of the four.
Yeah, 8 English bowlers, in fact, covered by just 2.5 points in that market, which shows you just how open it is. Anything else you like?
I'm going to have a look at man of the match as well, because that, you know, batting and bowling markets obviously are their own individual discipline, but you've got man of the match market here, which gives you kind of double chance, because I always like to take an all-rounder in this one because you have twice the value. There is a guy that's coming into the Australian side, Mitchell Marsh, who's Sean's brother. Who bats and bowls. He does provide a bit of an all-round threat there, because although his bowling isn't probably as good as the other three and his batting isn't as good as the top order, Smith, Warner, etc., he can get runs in that middle order. He can also take wickets. And at 20-1, he could make a bit of a difference at the Wacker. So that kind of price is enough to tempt me in. You know, some of the others at 20-1, I wouldn't touch. Bairstow hasn't really been spoken about. I do hope they move Bairstow from 7-6, because Moeen Ali isn't the player that Bairstow is. He's wasted down the order. And at 20-1, he might give you some value as well. But Mitchell Marsh for me at 20s there. But I tell you what, I started off this series being really optimistic, and I am now depressed. I am the depressed cricket badger of this parish, and I really think Australia are just going to basically steamroll through the rest of this series. I'm fearful. I'm hopeful that England can do something, but I'm really fearful that Australia are just going to basically rule the roost from here on.
Yeah, could well be ominous from an England perspective. Favourite bet then, James, just before we wrap up?
I'm going to go Warner. That enhanced market. William Hill do enhanced markets better than anybody. Those enhanced markets, it's got to be pro-Australia. You've got Warner to be the top Australia bat and Australia to win at 5-1. Starc to be the top Australia bowler and Australia to win at 7-2. Both of those stand out.
Good stuff. Thank you very much, James, and try and enjoy us on Thursday.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.